Well, it's good to see you guys again. Happy to be here with you. I always bring this up, but maybe even more particular this time in summer camp or it's family camp. The first message I ever gave for our church was at family camp, and they assigned me the topic of the importance of giving, which I thought was a nice way to break me in. But it was here at Trinity Pine, so I'm glad to be back here. A lot of good memories. So, our text tonight will be Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. You'll pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your people. I thank you for this time that we dedicate every year to come together for an extended weekend of learning and preaching and enjoying each other's company, learning more about one another. I thank you for the variety of personalities and just the diversity that we have, even in a church that would otherwise be thought of as not so diverse. But we know, Lord, that you have called all types of people to your grace, and I thank you for these that are here tonight. I pray, Lord, that this message would be helpful to all who are here. I pray, Lord, that you would protect all of us from error and from arrogance. And as I always pray when we are together, I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. In Christ's name, amen. So as Pastor Jess and Pastor Christian and I were discussing what to discuss behind this tiny pulpit this year, I thought it seemed fitting with everything that's going on, even though it seemed like it came upon us quickly, that it seemed to make sense that we would land on the topic of enduring. What a timely message might we discuss during these strange times that we're living in. After all, I think we would all agree that to some extent we've been lied to. It is the year 2020. We were expecting self-lacing tennis shoes and hoverboards. I know that some of the kids out here might be thinking to themselves, I have a hoverboard. That's not a hoverboard. It has the potential of burning your garage down, and it has wheels. That's not the hoverboard that we were promised. If you look out throughout history, there's been all sorts of predictions that were made that we have not seen come to fruition. In 1955, it was predicted that the common cold would be gone by the year 2000, but we have strange new diseases. In 1963, President John F. Kennedy said, "We have the means, we have the capability to eliminate hunger from the face of the earth in our lifetime." Yet there are still many in the world that suffer from hunger. We should have flying cars, but as we all experienced on the drive, I-45 is perpetually traffic jammed. And certainly there is room in the body of Christ, as we have said many times, for differing opinions about the end times. But let me just say that according to recorded history and our own experience in the year 2020, that does not bode well for the post-millennials that may be among us. Yes, the gospel still goes forth and is effectual to bringing sinners to faith and repentance, but things don't seem to be getting better. Just look at our year in review. Most of the country has experienced a prolonged shutdown because of COVID-19, which started around March. Our church went for several weeks without even being able to meet in person. There has been economic crisis, which has impacted some of us much greater than others. The hardships of sickness and death are made more painful in this time because we cannot care for the loved ones that are suffering in the way that we had hoped, with limited hospital visits. There is certainly civil unrest in the streets, and that makes us fear for our country, if not even our own well-being. There are wars and rumors of wars. And those are just a few examples. So in short, I don't think that I need to stand here and give you much convincing that we are acquainted with discouragement. From almost any perspective, there's much to be concerned about, and much that you might be discouraged about. Even an optimist might look at the world and say, yes, the glass is half full, but the milk it contains is starting to curdle. We find ourselves in need of endurance. Amen? So that's the question for tonight. What does it mean to endure through such discouragement? The recent threat of Hurricane Laura had many of us wondering about our homes and the security that they offered. If the sustained winds and strong winds and sustained downpours were to come. Most of you know that Kelly and I and the family have recently moved to Spring. And when both of those storms, the two that were coming to the Gulf, had us thinking about less familiar streets and whether or not they would flood, and less familiar trees and whether or not they would come into our living room. Many of us were either heartened or discouraged about how we fared through the last storms of life. Did you know that there's a whole field of study where researchers get to launch 2x4s from a cannon through walls? They launch them through cinder block and cement board and brick in hopes that they will find the right remedy and right prescription to formulate the perfect structure that would withstand hurricanes and tornadoes. So the potential of two hurricanes coming to shore in a short time and a short distance from one another brought to mind Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 7. He was warning of false prophets and the necessity to do his Father's will and to bear fruit. And he says, starting in verse 24 of chapter 7, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall. For it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the flood came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And all the children sang, "And the rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm." That'll be a hit on YouTube upcoming. And giving our family camp topic, these storms also had me thinking about the idea of shelter and where we go to shelter from storms, and that idea rooted in my mind. Where do you go when you need shelter from the seemingly ever-present storms of life? Storms that tear us down and storms that do discourage us. What tools do we have that we may implement so that we will not perish, but not only not perish, but continue to grow and encourage others to grow in times of great discouragement? So tonight I want to look at a very short text and build us such a place to go. So for all the kids and the adults that may need extra attention and extra help paying attention, I'm going to build us a place, and I'm going to go through how we're going to build it. And I want you to build this place in your mind. If you have a piece of paper, I want you to draw it for me. But I want these things to be rooted in your heart. So I'm going to build us a shelter tonight, and hopefully that will be helpful to not just the kids in the room, but to all of us. Just like the researchers at places like Texas Tech and Iowa State that launched 2x4s through cinder block, people who are serious about enduring storms have to understand what formulates a safe refuge. They have to understand the properties that will preserve them through the challenges and hardships they encounter among the brokenness of this world. And it's with that same goal in mind that we approach the text tonight. So I've entitled my message, "Enduring Through Discouragement, Seeking Shelter." And that is my plan for the message, to build us a shelter where we can go and be safe from the ever-present storms. One straightforward verse, which is just an aside that Paul inserts while he's admonishing believers to support their weaker brother, and references a text from Psalm 69 that is speaking to Christ, and He says this, that we can take all of Scripture and put it in our hearts and be encouraged by it. Our message tonight will look at how this text describes how the Scriptures themselves are the key to enduring through discouragement, and how through them we might build ourselves a shelter that will protect us from and in our discouragement. We will look at 3 points together: the foundation, the structure, and the coverings. So let's start together with the foundation, point one. The foundation is the Word of God. In our world, storms of discouragement are prevalent and taxing. They endanger our hearts and minds. But by God's grace, we are aware that a refuge is needed. There is an accurate forecast in the Word that if we heed, we can be prepared for the storms. Where do you start constructing a strong refuge? As with any project, if you're building a home or a building, you start with the foundation. The starting place for Paul's refuge in this verse is the written word, the God-breathed scriptures. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Whatever was written. And this is where we will start. The foundation of our shelter from discouragement is the Word of God. This might surprise some of you, but I actually am a terrible carpenter. I like the idea of building things. I like to understand the methodology and the appropriate sequence of building cabinets and furniture and houses. I like order and I like process. For me, what usually gets muddled from there is the actual physical execution. I cannot tell you how many boards and, you know, sheets of plywood that I have ruined by the saw walking off the line I had drawn. Which is why my day job is project manager and not lead carpenter. I can tell you what materials you need. I can tell you what the sequence of the process you should go through, but don't let me frame your house. The process of building a foundation is particular, especially if you want it to last. A foundation can't just be poured on the ground and built on top of. You have to dig deep down in the virgin, uncultivated soil, not the dirt and debris that is lying on the top and will just slough off easily, but down in the ground. The footings have to be below the frost line, where they can't be affected by the shifting temperatures or in dramatic changes caused by drought or by severe weather. Nor can it be a flimsy foundation of loosely mixed conglomerate of non-igneous rock. It has to be a cohesive, systematic, mixed with appropriate ratios of water and cement and rock and reinforced with steel. The strongest foundations go all the way down to the bedrock where they are anchored and thus situated and to last until the end of time. And this is the sort of foundation that we want for our shelter from discouragement. We are going to build a shelter with the foundation of the Word of God. But in order for our foundation to be useful, it has to be well formed and it has to be trustworthy. It needs to be based on the right materials and handled appropriately. After all, our foundation is only as good as the source material that is used to build it. So we should ask ourselves, what do we believe about the scriptures? What makes up the stuff that we're going to use to construct our foundation? What we believe about God's word will have no small effect on how our foundation is formed. So we must approach the Bible believing and trusting in what it claims about itself. Not what I claim about it, not what Pastor Jess claims about it, not what Pastor Christian claims about it, what it claims about itself. That it's the revealed, infallible, inherent Word of God. For our foundation to be strong, we have to establish the reliability of the Scriptures as valid and trusted. Hebrews 4:12. I may quote this verse in every sermon I give. It was the first I ever memorized as a kid, so it just comes to heart. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This is the self-attesting truth about God's word that makes it the unparalleled and unmistakable choice for our foundation. In his systematic theology, Wayne Grudem lists four characteristics of Scripture. It is authoritative, it is clear, it is necessary, and it is sufficient. It is authoritative, which means we can trust that we can rely on something that is true and profitable. These are the very words of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. 2, it is clear, which means we can trust that we can find the right meaning and application of the Scripture as God Himself enlightens us to it and its meaning. Psalm 119:130, the unfolding of your words give light, it gives understanding to the simple. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Third, it is necessary, which means we must be grounded in the truth that the Word of God is not just useful, but indispensable. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Romans 10:4. How then will they call on him who they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And fourth, it is sufficient. The Bible contains all that is needed for salvation, trust, obedience, and hope. Proverbs 30:5-6. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, or he will reprove you, and you will be proved a liar. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. John 6:63. In the Spirit who gives life, the flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. From our own church's confession, chapter 5 on the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are the only sufficient, certain, inerrant, and infallible rule of saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and His will which is necessary unto salvation. It continues in the same chapter in section 2. Under the name of Holy Scriptures, Word of God written, or the Bible, which was written by men divinely inspired and is perfect treasure of heavenly instruction, with God as its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter, and is the rule of faith and life, and now contains all the books of the New and Old Testament, which is why I can preach on a passage which is directly attributing something in the Old Testament, but clearly is also speaking of all of Scripture. We are thankful for the New Testament, and we are thankful that it is part of our canon. Practically, in building our foundation, we do at least these things. We pray and seek to understand what the Bible attests itself to be. We submit to the authority of Scripture over our own ideas and desires. We seek to understand the meaning of hard texts. We prepare ourselves and our fellow believers with truthful and honest answers about the authenticity of the Word of God. And all this we do with a purpose, and out of necessity, to set our firm foundation, rooted deeply in the sufficiency of Scripture, a steadfast foundation that cannot be moved. And this foundation serves a purpose, as all foundations are created with a purpose. We have created our foundation to build upon. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for. The Scriptures were written for something. And Paul tells us it was for our instruction. Which brings us to our second point, and the second component of our refuge, the structure. The structure will be our instruction in the Word. So having laid a good and right foundation, the inerrant, authoritative, sufficient, clear, and necessary Word of God, we move on to the structure of our shelter. The structure rests on and depends on the foundation. It doesn't matter how robust and strong you believe your structure to be. If the foundation is weak, the structure will crumble under the stress of harsh conditions. The first step in framing our house is to anchor the steel plate to the foundation. In home construction, this is done by inserting long J screws into the foundation before it's fully set, to the effect that the bottom plate of the exterior walls can now be bolted to the foundation to ensure that the structure will not separate from the foundation. Then the walls are set up in sections. They define the different areas of the house. They outline its boundaries and establish its load points. Exterior sheathing is added to make the structure rigid and unshakable by wind. Sometimes, while you're framing a house, you'll come across a board that is warped or twisted or checked, and you have to throw it into the scrap pile. Or if it's already made it into the structure, then you have to pull it out and replace it with a piece of lumber that is true. You might come across a particularly challenging feature of the building, and you will need to bring in more hands, experienced and trustworthy carpenters that can help you figure out the challenges of the build and help fit the pieces in the right place. A vapor barrier and windows will be installed so that the inside of the shelter will be distinctly separated from the climate of the outside. Headers are built to appropriately carry the loads of the structure so they do not collapse under its own weight, and you are never hindered from entering and exiting. So we need some structure for our shelter. A structure that has all the attributes I have mentioned, suitable to withstand our discouragement and fear and unexpected disappointments of life. Our structure will be built from truths we learn about God as we seek to be instructed by Scripture. Instruction in the Word of God reveals to us truth that will fortify us against hardship. Now, if our aim is to be instructed by the Bible, but we have no faith in the authenticity or authority of the Bible, the instruction will be meaningless. But our foundation is set. Therefore, we can trust that what the Bible teaches about God is true, and we can establish the structure for our shelter on those truths. Instruction is not an end to itself. We do not study the Bible as an academic undertaking. We do not do it to impress our friends or our parents or to even win at Bible drill, even though that might be fun. We do not study the Bible so we can make ourselves look righteous and good. We study the Bible to understand the one who alone is righteous and who alone can make us righteous by our sharing in his righteousness, who by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can conform us and change us to look more like Jesus. We do not study the Bible as a mere grouping of wise words or as a study of great literature. We don't come to it expecting a fortune. There's a good chance that if you open the Bible to a random passage of Scripture, you're going to find out that God is wrathfully angry with you That is only a good thing if it also offers a solution to that problem. If all you know about God are some standalone verses that are out of context and some of your own ideas about God and the Word of God, and without the enlightenment of all the Scripture, you are going to misunderstand what God has chosen to reveal about Himself in all of the Scripture. You might know, for instance, that God hates sin and punishes the guilty, that no one follows God, and that we are dead in our sins and trespasses. You might know that the most righteous, worthy, good, miraculously knowledgeable, sympathetic man was unjustly and brutally murdered and tortured by the people he came to help. But as we are truly instructed by God's word, we will also learn that God is faithful to the faithless, 2 Timothy 2:13. God offers repentance, Romans 2:4. Nothing can separate us from the love of God for those who are in Christ, Romans 8:38. A righteous judge will come and make account for all the wrong ever committed, 2 Corinthians 5:10. By faith we are justified and we have peace with God, Romans 5:1. To learn these truths, to understand God, this is why we study the Bible. This is why we seek instruction from the Word. Paul tells us that the text of the Scripture was written for a purpose, to teach us truths about God. These are the truths we rely on to build our structure. These are the great truths, the non-negotiables, the doctrines we hold tight to when storms of life come. These are the confidence that we have that our walls are true and are able to stand. The attributes of God anchor our structure to the sure foundation of God's revealed word. Practically, in building our structure, we attend to exegetical preaching in accordance with biblical doctrine. We study the word of God and its meaning to the original audience and to us. We teach the whole counsel of God, not forsaking any part of the Bible. We write and adopt and teach according to biblical confessions. We sing, and some of us write songs whose lyrics are grounded in biblical truth. We teach our children from curriculum that is derived from the Bible, and we hold each other accountable for biblical principles. Instruction from the Scripture builds a rock-solid frame which is ready for coverings. The coverings is the last component of our structure. It completes it. It makes it move and ready. It gives us the final and desired outcome. The text also gives us a desired outcome. For whatever was written in earlier time was written for our instruction, that's the purpose, so that, with the desired outcome of, through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Paul's desired outcome is expressed in the words, so that. The Scripture, including both the New and Old Testament, have been written for our instruction and for a specific purpose, which brings me to our final point, the covering. Hope. The reason that we undertake instruction in the Scriptures is that it leads to exactly what we need in times of discouragement. Hope. As far as the refuge we have been building goes, what that is to this point is what is commonly known as a building which is dried in. Yes, it looks more or less like a house, but you can't live in it in this condition because it won't last. If storms were to come when the house is only framed but not finished, you might find yourself with nothing left but the foundation. Or after some time, due to exposure to the elements, you would have to tear large sections down and start again with better suited materials. But we have a good start, and we have come to this point by following the prescribed and necessary sequence in constructing our shelter. We have built a lasting structure on a firm foundation. What is left to do but to hang some pictures and fluff the throw pillows? We're not quite ready. The walls are up and sheathed. The roof is raised and the decking is secured. The hurricane straps tie the trusses to the top plates that are joined to the studs and the headers and the king studs, which carry the loads down to the sill plate that is secured hard and fast to our firm foundation. And it is a good start. It may even suffice for some of the early storms that it faces. Yet it is lacking the finishes that will allow it to endure. There are no shingles to keep the rain and wind and hail from destroying the house. There is no siding to keep the elements and the wildlife and the bugs out. This would be a big concern in our home. There is no air conditioning to make the outside world tolerable. There is no table to sit at to share your life and troubles with others. There is no security that the structure will not only suffice for now, but will last. That is the purpose of the coverings, to ensure this structure will last and will survive the storms. In the house that we have built to shelter us from discouragement, we still need to add the coverings, the finishes. The coverings we have for our shelter are perseverance, encouragement, and hope. And these coverings are formed by the demonstration of God's faithfulness, the testament of Christ's atoning work to us, and the admonishment of Christ and his apostles to endure, strive, and excel, and the promise that Christ will fulfill all the promises that have been revealed to us in the world, in the Word. These are the materials that will finish the place of refuge and give it strength and longevity. A shelter without coverings has an expectation of being sufficient. It looks like it might last. But a house with the right finishes has the sure hope that it will last. We have this hope through faith, which comes by the hearing of the Word. And this hope gives us assurance that God will not only continue to be what he has always demonstrated himself to be, but fulfill all the promises that have been yet unrealized. Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The shelter we seek in times of great discouragement is finished with our hope in Christ. Our hope in the truth that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. If the promises of Scripture are true, what can we not bear? This broken and defunct world will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:1. The unrighteous rulers will be no more, and God himself will dwell with us forever. Revelation 21:3. There will be no darkness, and the Lamb of God will be our light. Revelation 21:23. There will no longer be the curse or the effect of sin. Revelation 22:3. There will no longer be any death. Revelation 21:4, which says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The foundational Word of God instructs us to the truths about God so that we can endure and preserve and hope. Hope in the promises of God. These will sustain us in times of great tribulation, in times of great discouragement. So hope completes our refuge. It makes it something that is beautiful and something that will last. A place we can invite others to visit and to share in our hope when they are lacking hope. Oftentimes we have brothers and sisters whose foundations are weak, and whose structures are incomplete. In those instances, we need to admonish them to repair or reconstruct and give them the materials to do that. When I was a younger man, I had to tear down the structure of my faith and rebuild on a firmer foundation. It required excavation and a struggle and hard work. And to be poured foundation had to be, the foundation I had poured had to be eradicated and patched and reinforced. And to tell you the truth, sometimes I have still come across bad parts that had to be chipped away and new materials replace it. But how gracious is our God that He allows us to grow and to repair and to be enlightened. There's much more to say, but I know it's Saturday night. There's more to say about the preventative maintenance of our structure through prayer and accountability. But our structure is complete, and it offers great protection from current discouragement and hardship. It offers great hope that our hiding place will stand for eternity. So we are done with our construction. But I have some concern that this message might seem too clever or flippant, because I truly know that discouragement is a true thing that we deal with, all of us. I have been discouraged, even by the Bible, because I didn't understand what it was saying. I didn't think through its implications. I didn't keep reading. I think we really don't need tips for better living. We don't need to just be told to grin and bear it through the trials of life. I want messages like this. We need messages like this to be applicable. I want to impact your mind with God's truth so that you will actually receive help in times of need. And I can't provide you a mantra or a magic spell. We do not learn about the Bible or memorize scripture to conjure God to do something for us, like some sort of genie. But that doesn't mean that the Word of God is not effectual. So we should wrestle and pray and read the Word until we are certain it is infallible and inerrant. We should study it and learn about God and about God's faithfulness, Christ's atoning work on the cross, the admonishment of the apostles. Believing in the promises of God He has made will certainly be fulfilled. Do these things, and your heart and mind will be sheltered from discouragement. There's a number of studies that show that our sense of smell is very closely related to our memory, which is why when we smell funnel cake, we think about the state fair or popcorn. See? We think about popcorn, you think about movies. You think about mildew and smelly kids, you think about summer camp. It's the reason that when we think about people, we might even have almost a tangible reflex. I could still smell my grandma's raspberry jam. We affix the aroma of Christ in our hearts by implanting His Word in our minds, so that in times of great tribulation and discouragement, we persevere by remembering what Christ has done, and with the sure hope that He is going to do what He has promised. There are storms coming. I would like to tell you that it's not true, but there are storms coming. There are fears that you will face that I wish I could keep you from. Relationships will be damaged. Friendships will fail you. Your health will fail you. Some of us will lose jobs. All of us will lose people too soon. Our resolve will wane. Our leaders will fail. We will sin, and we will be sinned against. But God's Word will never fail. Christ, who is Himself the rock we are anchored to, will hold us fast. This we know from the revealed Word of God, as we accept it for what it testifies itself to be, and as we seek instruction from it, we will find strength to persevere. We will be encouraged, and we will be led to real, lasting, useful hope. Fortify yourself with the Word. Learn from sound preaching and teaching. Share your faith with those who have little or have misplaced theirs. Let yourself be corrected when you have believed wrongly. Cry out to God with the psalmists. Lament and struggle with the prophets. Take heart and rejoice. Shout for joy and raise your hands in worship. rest and be at peace with all of the redeemed. The word of God is true, and it reveals not just a hope, like other books might give you hope. Not just a hope, not a hope that will suffice for just a little while, but a living hope that sustains us now and brings us into eternal glory. In Christ, who has been revealed to us in the Scriptures, all of God's promises are yes and amen. And that is a promise that will lead to endurance. That is a promise that you can build on. If you have your Bible handy or a Bible app handy, I'm going to read Psalm 46 as our part of our closing prayer, and would like for you guys to read along with me. I think that this was given to us, revealed to us for our hope. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake in its swelling pride. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Amen. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I certainly repent of the times that I have neglected your revealed word. I pray, Lord, that this message would encourage those who are experiencing discouragement even now to take up and read the word. Lord, I thank you so much that you have revealed your truth in your word. I thank you so much for the truth that Christ has died for an ungodly people, and that we can share in his righteousness. I thank you that we can cease striving and know that you are God and take comfort in the truth that you are God. I thank you that this is all revealed in your word. I pray that you would give hope to the hopeless. I pray in moments of doubt and fear that it would just naturally come to them the truths and the promises that you have made believers. I pray that it would become easier for us to believe those truths as we immerse ourselves in the Word, as we attend to preaching. I pray for the kids in this room who are very lucky to come to a church that preaches the full counsel of God, though it seems to many of them that our services may be too long. This message is for them, Lord. I thank you that your message is for children and for men who have childlike minds. I pray you would implant it in them. You would help us to love your word and to seek more knowledge in you. I thank you for these people. I pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.